All right, I had a ball on Friday night with the young people. The one-way club. Have we got any one-wayers here? The children, we've got a couple of hands popping up here and there. Can any of you guys remember what we looked at on Friday night? You are, what are we? Light. You're the light of the world, Jesus said. And of course, the light comes from the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? What about the young people? What did we look at on Friday night? The Bismarck. We looked at the Bismarck. Does any of the young people remember what we looked at? What was the principle? Well, it was the Bismarck. How's your rudder, brother? So, I hope your rudder's doing well. All right, and if you are sitting there wondering, what is he on about? Just ask the young people. They had a great nap that night, so let's take our Bibles and turn over to Genesis 33, shall we? Genesis 33. I just recently invited a preacher to preach for me. Said, we're going to have lunch and you're going to preach right after lunch. He said, thanks. Everybody's in nap stage, you know. They're just contented, comfortable, even warm. We're just, you know. So we're just going to try and keep you out of a coma this afternoon. Hopefully we'll be able to get somewhere. We're in Genesis 33. Did I say Genesis 33? Great. We're in Genesis 33. At least I'm on the same page that you are. And the story is the story of Jacob and Esau. And you know the story. They left on awkward terms, to say the least. I'm going to kill you kind of terms. And Jacob ran for his life, didn't he? And Genesis 33, we're at the point where Jacob and Esau meet again. First time for 20 years. So we look in this passage. You may remember that Jacob has sent a gift ahead of him. That gift happened to be 200 ewes with 20 rams, 200 she-goats with 20 male goats, 40 cows with their calves, 40, I think, camels, with a bunch of colts with them, a bunch of donkeys or asses with their young. It was a pretty sizable gift. In fact, even in our terms today, we're talking about something of huge value, great substance. Now, he sent them as separate droves, you remember. And so Esau, as he comes to greet his brother with a sword in his hand, he gets the sheep come, and then come all the goats come as a separate. Oh, where are these from? Oh, they're from Jacob because he loves you so much. Where are these from? They're from Jacob. He loves you so much. You're such a wonderful brother. You're his favorite brother. And where are these from and those from? And oh, he'd been through that enough times, and eventually he sees Jacob. And we pick this up at verse number 8. And he, Esau, said, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" And he, Jacob, said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." A spirit of humility goes a long way when there is a bit of an issue happening, doesn't it? We just have we're not good at that. Jacob found it that day. And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." Now, maybe after lunch you would be able to say, "Man, I've had enough." Or maybe as we look at all the stores that you guys have brought, we say, "Thank God for all his provisions for us. I have enough." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. You know, when Jacob gave this gift, no was not an option. If Esau said, no, I don't need your gift, to Jacob that meant, you better watch out, brother. You're still on my hit list. For Jacob to have his gift received was for Esau to have received his brother as well. So Jacob was not about to take, well, that's all right, I don't need this. He said, you do need it, and I need you to need it. You need to take it. And as though I'd seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. Why don't we go before the Lord in prayer? Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to open your word this afternoon. We pray, as we have had enough, that you would that you'd quicken our minds, our thoughts, help us to hear and to hear well. And we pray that you'd help us to draw a simple principle from the Word of God this afternoon. We ask that you'd refresh us by it, encourage us to seek the Lord with our whole hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A woman was invited to a wedding, and so she thought she would make an impression. She went down to the safe deposit box they had at the bank, and she got out her family heirloom. And she would wear this expensive jewelry to the wedding, and show the riches that they had. And when they got home that night, of course, the bank was closed, so she couldn't take it back to put it in the safe deposit box. So she put it in, it was a little bit of a shaving case they had. She popped it in there and popped the shaving case in another box out of sight. And promptly it was forgotten. Well, sometime later, she had a friend who was having a garage sale. And she said, is there anything that you can give me that I can sell at my garage sale? And she looked around the house and she found this old shaving box that she didn't want. So she gave her this shaving case, and her friend sold the shaving case for 10 cents at her garage sale. It wasn't until later that she realized the extent of her loss, that she had lost her family heirloom for 10 cents. Esau was a bit the same. He had lost something of greatest value. Didn't even realize until after it was gone. You know, we have things that God gives us which are priceless. And we don't count their value until sometimes they're lost. Esau lost something of greatest value. Well, you know Jacob and Esau. Esau was the oldest. Jacob was the youngest. Esau was hairy. Jacob, well, he was a smooth man. Esau was out hunting. Jacob was inside playing his Xbox. Esau was his dad's man. Jacob was mum's boy. They were different. Esau was outdoors. Jacob was indoors. Esau was hungry. Jacob sold pottage. It all worked well. Esau sold his birthright, and never counted the cost until much later on he realized how great the loss. Thus Esau despised his birthright, the scripture tells us. You see, Esau sought a blessing. Jacob, well, he sought the blessing too. Esau hunted deer, but Jacob hunted blessings. Esau went without, and Esau hated Jacob. So Jacob ran away, and we read that Jacob had began a process of rebuilding his life, if you like. He worked for Uncle Laban, and Jacob went and he married, didn't he? And he married, and he married. Now 20 years have passed, and Jacob now has 4 wives, 13 children. He returns back to his father. On the way back, he is reminded of the reality that when he left, Esau had said under his breath, "I am going to kill you." And Jacob is afraid. Well, he decides it's probably worthwhile. See what Esau's up to. He sends somebody up ahead who returns promptly to say, "Esau's coming to greet you," with 400 armed men. Jacob is in trouble. What are we going to do? He puts together this generous gift and sends that off to his brother piece by piece, who, when he sees Jacob, answers with the statement, "I have enough. I have enough." I hope you're a people this morning that are thankful for all that you have. We live in a country with great abundance, don't we? We have enough. We have everything you can ask for and then a whole lot more. Esau said, "I have enough." We might ask ourselves then, what was Esau doing here? Esau, here you come with 400 armed men, they're your men. Because Esau is the beginning of a nation. The nation of Edom is well and truly on its way. Esau has great abundance. He has great property. He has all kinds of stores. He's got wives and children and all of these things. Esau is he's doing pretty well for himself. Yeah, rightly he could say, "I have enough." Why are you here then, Esau? You never came to greet your brother. You came to take something back. Something you lost those 20 years ago. You came to square some things up here. You're not very impressed with your brother. In your heart of hearts, you said the words, "I have enough," but you don't really believe I have enough. You're really here because the blessing meant that you would have had more. The blessing meant that you would have had more of your father's land, more of your father's heart, more of the goods of God throughout time. You want more. You said you have enough, but if the truth be known, you want more. I wonder if you've ever said, "I have enough," but you really, in your heart of hearts, mean, "I want more." Now, you've been working for a number of years now. Your wage is double what it used to be. You may say with your mouth, "I have enough," but in your heart of hearts, you're crying out, "I want some more. Give me more." If you were to have a little chat with your employer, you might say, "I don't have enough." "Oh, yes, we're thankful for what God has given us. We say, 'I have enough.'" But are we really satisfied with the things that we have? I would suggest to you that the heart of man is never satisfied with stuff. You're never satisfied with things. It matters not how much you have, because you're never satisfied with those things. One man went to his pastor and he said, "Pastor, I know I made a commitment years ago that I would tithe of everything that I got." But he said, "When I made that commitment, I was getting $100 a week." He said, "Now I'm getting $5,000 a week. And look, $500, 10%, that's a lot of money." He said, "I wasn't thinking that kind of money when I made the commitment." And his pastor said, "Okay, let's pray together and pray that God would reduce your income to what it used to be. So then you'll be happy to tithe what God gives you." And he said, "Hang on a minute, let me think about this. There's never enough, is there?" Proverbs 30, verse 15, "The horse leech hath 2 daughters crying, 'Give, give, give, give.'" Have you ever had a leech hanging off you? I remember we went to youth camp and the leeches were, they were pretty rife at this campsite we went to. And so I was sitting out there talking to one of the guys in the evening, and then I looked down, there's a pool of blood around my foot, and I look around, "Oh man, this thing's been sucking on me for the last hour. He is bloated like this, full of blood, and there's just a whole puddle all through my sock and down onto the ground. He's just taking and taking and taking." You know, people, if they are just that kind of taker kind of person, we call them a leech, don't we? They're just takers. That's the scripture gives us that concept. You know, we can be just takers, can't we? We just, there's never enough. He goes on, he says, there are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four say not is enough. The grave. Doesn't matter how hard you try, you're going to die. The grave's just saying, come on, give me another one. You know, constantly, people dying. The grave says it's not enough. The barren womb. The yearning of a mother to have a child says it is not enough. The earth that is not filled with water, you get the dry, drought-stricken land. You pour water on it and it just dissipates. There's nothing there. It doesn't absorb. It wants more. And the fire that saith it is not. You put a log on because that's going to keep it happy, but it's going to consume the log and beg for more. There's never enough. There's never enough. You know, we're like that. In your heart, in my heart, is that desire for more. A young couple gets married and they shift into their first little dream home. And it's a one bedroom with a draft runs through and they are excited and this is wonderful. And before you know it, that's not enough. And then it's not just because they've got little bambinos bouncing around them, but before you know it, we want a two-bedroom and a three-bedroom. We want more because more is part of your nature. You want more. Ecclesiastes tells us neither is his eye satisfied with riches. We're not satisfied with riches. Boris Becker was the youngest man to win Wimbledon. When he'd won two titles, he said, I had everything that money could buy. I had the dream. He was at the top of his world. He said, it's the old song that movie stars and pop stars sing who commit suicide. They have everything and yet they are so unhappy. He said, I had no inner peace. I was a puppet on a string. He came to the end of everything. He had everything and realized everything doesn't satisfy. More. More. They asked the richest man in the world, how much would it take to satisfy you? And he said, just a little bit more. Because surely more will satisfy, but more never satisfies. More never satisfies. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 8, we read there, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. There's not enough that will satisfy you. There's not enough. In all of your endeavors, in all of your pursuits, your wage is not enough. You say, I'm going to work harder, I'm going to earn more, and I'll be satisfied. No, you work harder, you'll earn more, and you'll still be unsatisfied. I would suggest to you, some of you that are mid to older aged, your nest egg is not enough. It's not enough. However much you think is enough, it's never enough. You want more. It's the catch cry of your heart. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. So you have a great crop. What are you going to do now? Well, tear down your barns and build greater. And Jesus would look at us and say, thou fool. Thou fool. You say it's enough with your lips, but in your heart of hearts, you know and you believe it's not enough. We are an unsatisfied people, dissatisfied with the things that God has given us. More is never enough. More is never enough. You go and spend some time with a preacher. How's the church going? Oh, it's doing well. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not what you want it to be. You want more. Every preacher wants more people, more souls saved, more people going on, more people zealous. There's never enough. We want more. The challenge, the temptation for those who say it is not really enough is that we're going to take shortcuts. We're going to make changes to things that we try and get ourselves some more. Like Esau, who went to even things up a little. Went to give some payback. People steal because it's not enough. Some of these thieves have riches coming out all over the place. And they go to get more and more and more because it's never enough. But the desire for riches, doesn't the scripture say, he that will be rich brings to himself a snare. He leads himself into many foolish and hurtful lusts which destroy the soul. All the things we do because we want more. You know, because churches want more, they take sidetracks. They try and give what people want so that we can get more people in. They become our little pawns in our game because we want more. We change things just because we want more. We want more. Let's remove all standards. Let's change our versions. Let's just lighten up the church a little bit. Let's change the music. We'll reach the crowd. It's the philosophy of a preacher who wants more. It's interesting, isn't it, that they both use the same words? Esau said in verse number 9, I have enough. Jacob said in verse number 11, I have enough. But I want to encourage you in some truth here. In the Hebrew, they never actually said the same thing. They used two different phrases. The phrase that Esau gave was, I have enough, it's adequate. But what Jacob said was, I have everything. I have abundance. Esau said, it'll do. Jacob said, you can't give me any more. I have everything I could possibly obtain. Those are the two philosophies which will determine where you're going to end up, how you're going to live your life, and what will govern the decisions that you make. Either I have enough, it'll do, but I'd really like to get my hands on some more, or I have enough because God is my supplier and everything I have is from God and you can't give me more if you want. The Lord Jesus Christ is my everything. I want you to notice the words of Jacob there in verse 11. Take heed, take I pray thee my blessing that is brought to thee because God has dealt graciously with me. You know, those who say, God is my everything, I have abundance, I have all, you can't give me more if you try. Those are the people who recognize that all that I have is from God. God is my supplier. Paul says, I have all and abound. Not just because of what Epaphroditus brought to me. He says, I've learned how to abound and how to suffer need, how to live in great abundance and how to live with not much at all, not even the basics. Everywhere and in all things, I'm commanded both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That verse is so abused. I can do all things through Christ. Here you are, you're making the last shot in the basketball game. I can do all things. I can just put Jesus on the map. That's not what it's about. Paul said, you know what? I can trust God when it's going well, and I can trust God when it's going tough. Because you're going to get to tough times, and you're going to feel like, yeah, my answer will be, I have enough. Oh, I've just got to cough and choke on that because I'm not satisfied. I want more. Things are tough. Or else you can develop a spirit that says, my Jesus is sufficient through high and low, and we can ride right through this because God is in control of this. Oh, we can say the words and still be an Esau. Or you can get the point and live as Jacob. Matthew 5 and verse number 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I have abundance. It's not about what you had for lunch. It's not about how much you earn. It's not about where you live or what you drive. It's not about how wonderful your family is, because these things are not enough. It's about your walk with God. It's about knowing Him. You see, the essence of Christianity, the reality of a true Christian walk, is to know the satisfaction that Christ is enough. Salvation is all about that. It's not about heaven or hell. It's about, I was separated from God. I was his enemy, but I was restored because the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with everything. He is now my everything. The Lord Jesus Christ is my all. I have all things. Romans 8:31, 32 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? God says it very plainly. You've got all. When we enter boldly into the throne of grace, you can have grace to help in time of need. You can have mercy. All. Everything. I love some of those verses he gives us just to emphasize the abundance of what God has given to us. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You've got everything. Don't settle with, I've got enough, but I'm pretty miserable because really I'd like more. I have to put a smile on my face and play a good Christian. I'm a good Christian boy, but I'm really dissatisfied. We live there so very often, we're just an Esau. Esau was a picture in the Bible of the fleshly man resting in what he could get his fingers on. He wanted the immediate satisfaction of a meal in his belly right now. He wanted more. Never enough. But God wants you to enjoy true fulfillment, true satisfaction. When Christ is your everything, when Christ is your all. You can stand with Jacob and say, God has dealt graciously with me because I have enough. I want you just to turn back a page, at least in my Bible, to chapter 32. Jacob is on his way home. Jacob is about to see his brother. He already knows that his brother comes with 400 armed men. Jacob is fearing for his life and for the life of his family who are with him. We know that he's already separated all of those droves to send to his brother. He's separated his family into separate family groups. Sad that he was able to do that, but he did. And then he goes over and the Bible says, in verse number 24, and Jacob was left alone. You know, when you start to realize that all you have is not really enough, it's time to get alone with God. Jacob didn't realize that until he was pressed into a corner with nowhere else to go. Sometimes God allows difficulties in our life just for that reason, to squeeze us to the point where we say, you know what? I don't have everything I thought I had. I came back loaded up. Laban said, you've got all my goods. Jacob had it made. All that he could ask for, and 12 sons besides. Coming back, well, then the old fear begins to nag. What about your brother? Oh, this is getting pretty serious. What can I do about this? I need God. We remember that there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And he saw, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And sometimes God has to put his finger on something in our lives and bring us to the end of ourselves and show you that you cannot do this alone. You need me to take care of certain things. Let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. You know, if you're an Esau, you're looking for more. You may be saying, I have enough, because that's the right answer. But in your heart of hearts, you're meaning, I want more. And you are searching for something which will give you more. More satisfaction, more money, more abundance of things. You're looking for something. If you're going to come to the end of that, somewhere along the line, God is going to lead you to this point where you say, everything that I need is found in you, Lord. And Jacob said, I'm not letting go. I need you. It is you that's going to make a difference. Young fellas, I don't know if it's the same quite in the country as it is in the city. They go down and they look at themselves and they've got muscles on their muscles and they're looking for more muscles to make themselves more appealing, and the ladies are all very beautiful and everything is the appeal of the flesh and all of these things, and they're looking for their abundance all in the wrong places. Where's a young guy that gets a hold of God and says, I want more. I want more of God. I want the one who is everything, who is my abundance. It's going to come not from what's standing in my shoes, it's going to come from my God. God, I want you to get serious with me. What is thy name? Jacob. You're a supplanter. It's all about you, Jacob. No, let's change that. Let's call you Israel. As a prince, you have power with God. You want God to do something for you? He will never move on your behalf until you come and say, God, everything depends on you. It's not what you can do for God, it's what he can do for you. It's when you find him to be your satisfaction, that is the game changer in your life. That is what's going to make you different than the world around you. That's what's going to make you different from the Christian beside you. Some Christians are zealous. Where does that come from? I keep trying to wind myself up and get more zeal, and I just run out of steam. It's not what you can do for God. God wants to do something through you. And the power of God comes here. As a prince, thou hast power with God. Verse number 29 ends with this, and he blessed him there. He blessed him there. Do you know when Jacob stands up before his brother the next day and he hears him say the words, "It is not, I have enough"? Jacob turns around to him and he says, "Rubbish, you've got enough. You've got sufficient, but I have everything. I have all. I have abundance. You couldn't give me more. I have God. What have you got?" So I ask you the question today, what do you have? Do you have what you worked the last 50 years for? Do you have what your parents have left for you? What do you have? Do you have a good job? Do you have a bright future? Oh, you can have all of those and you will still be crying more. Or do you have God and that'll do you? He is everything. He is all. He is your abundance. He is your satisfaction. Why don't we bow our heads in prayer? Father, we ask that you'd turn our eyes upon Jesus, the one who is the fullness of the Godhead, the one who is the sufficiency of God for us. Lord, we recognize that he died for our sins and said, it is finished, everything is done, there's no more to be added. But so much more than just dealing with our sins, he gave us life, and life more abundantly. He gave us all, and Lord, we've taken that from you. And yet we look around to the world saying, what more can we get? And Lord, we ask that you'd forgive our selfish hearts. Forgive our negligent hearts. Turn our eyes upon our Saviour that we might find in him abundance. Lord, those brethren today who know Jesus to be their all-sufficiency, we pray you'd give them a spirit of rejoicing. And Lord, those who have missed that, who've been distracted by the things of earth, we pray that you'd give them a taste of the Lord Jesus. That as the honey from the rock, they might say, it is sweet and I desire more of him. And the desire might draw a craving, that we might find our true satisfaction in the Lord Jesus. Bless each one with a holy endeavor and desire for the Lord Jesus to be their fulfillment, we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen.